people often say when I see them out in the street and say, well, you know, you must have fun with the panel, although sometimes it's like herding cats. And it really isn't. You all are very, very nice. But sometimes it's just we all have to get together in the same place. And that's why that music is so long sometimes, because we have to, like, get ourselves together. But
I don't know what
are.
He's talking about, do you?
There's
I
just so much. How can you get together? Though, shout out to the people who plow the streets and all of that. They did, you know. People
Yeoman's
talk about
work.
Government workers, but we've got to praise them for their hard work over the last 24 hours.
Of course, you know there's somebody right now, like, driving down Manning Avenue, screaming at the radio, going, you want to be where I am?
I was just where they were trying to find a part, but still, it's hard. It's hard. What they do is hard, and we should say shout out. Thank you.
Indeed. So we're all here, and let me introduce everybody, and we'll get started. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Nice ride in from Great Barrington. Everybody did make the roads, passable. I was very delighted.
You guys got walloped.
Well, no, we got really, I mean, you have to understand that Little Murray, I took Murray on for a walk. took Murray on for a walk.
Murray's a little Scot.
Snow was over his head.
Yeah.
And it was over his head. So he went out and he started to jump like a jumping bean. You'd see him, you'd see nothing, and then all of a sudden you'd see him up in the air, and then he'd be down in the snowbank again. It was absolutely wild.
I have to say that watching, now I have a much larger dog than you, but yes. A yellow lab. And the just love that snow, and it's so much fun. Like however crusty and hardened and cynical and sardonic you become, just watching that dog in the snow just makes you, like, feel better about life. I think
cats are so different. I opened the door and Stephen looked at me and said, "Are you kidding?" I went right back into the bed.
Yeah. That's true. Rosemary Arameo is here. She is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you here. And Teresa Bourgeois is back with us. We are thrilled.
Yay.
She is a corporate consultant. And so, as you all know, I think regular listeners of this program, that typically I'll send out a list of what I called suggested stories around 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, and just some things that are going on that I think may be talking points, so maybe we're all on the same page, and send some links to articles and so forth. Stuff happened overnight that just, like, blew all of that out of the water. So,
wow.
we'll talk. We'll first talk about a story that we did have, and then we'll get into some of the other stuff. But the judges upheld the freeze on Donald Trump's travel ban. It was a 3-judge panel, and they ruled unanimously that President Trump's administration had shown no evidence that anyone from the nation's band had committed terrorist acts. The ruling could reach the Supreme Court while it is shorthanded, and a 4-4 vote would leave the appeals court's decision in place.
Well, my favorite part of it was how it slapped down his arrogance. The judges absolutely responded to the idea that they did not have the right to review a decision by the president. That was really important, perhaps the most important part of this. Teresa will talk more about this, but basically this is a temporary. This is an intermediate step. It could go to the Supreme Court, where it's a 4-4 decision is possible, blah. Or he could just do nothing, wait for the temporary restraining order to subside, and then come out with a new executive order that's actually crafted by a lawyer and would have a better chance than this one did.
Now, that seems to make the most sense, right?
But we're talking about Trump.
Right. So it is the difference between this is what could be legally accurate and withstand the courts versus this is what I originally wanted and I'm going to
and
get
I'm gonna
it.
And I'm going to get it, right.
Damn it.
And so it's continued. His immediate response was to write in all capital letters, which denotes shouting and anger.
Yep.
See ya in court.
Which so was bizarre because we already were in court.
Was in court.
Yeah.
But forget that.
Yeah, it's that arrogance and that that attempt to undo the other institutions aside from the presidency, which he continues to work on.
You know, that balance of power issue is really
right.
A big issue, I'm fascinated by Gorsuch, because, as I said, I don't really know what his motives were in speaking out to Blumenthal, which he did, and it may be that you thought, well, this is some way to sort of get ahead with a lot of the Democrats. And I know that Schumer, apparently, at least I read one thing, wasn't all that happy that he had done this because it's going to make Schumer's job keeping him out of that tougher. But on the other hand, let's say he does get onto the court and he rules, it takes long enough for him to get involved in this, it may well be that he's going to vote against the president who just put him on the court. I'd like to think so.
Well, and that's and what we saw yesterday with this decision by the Federal Appeals of the Ninth Circuit is a pause, but a pretty lengthy one. I mean, we bought some
time.
Some time and a lot of time, right? Several months.
Right. Well, remember that much of this was a 3-month ban. And so if the White House does nothing for 3 months, then do you even go back to the court on the issue? That's a question that I ask a lawyer. Not all of it, but most of it was a 3-month ban. But I agree with you, Rosemary. I think the fundamental language in this was, and I quote, "It is beyond question that the federal judiciary retains the authority to adjudicate constitutional challenges to executive action."
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that was I mean, there were a number of pieces, and the New York Times has a really good summary of the key points in this, but I think that is the fundamental issue.
Striking. I have this new ritual in keeping up with news, which is Breitbart, which I've never read before, you know, before the Trump administration. And if you look at Breitbart, it's totally frightening. The article was, those appellate judges think they're so smart. Look what they're trying to do. It certainly was a direct challenge to the power of federal judges. And worse than the article were the comments, hundreds of comments. And they were all profane and angry and basically, you know, we'll show you, Trump. We support Trump. Our country's safety is at stake, and we're not going to let federal judges stand in our way. Very, very frightening. It illustrates the divide in this country.
The Breitbart article that I saw, because I looked this morning, was one that was making the case that Donald Trump and his administration was making the exact same argument as President Obama was in defense of immigration in that executive order, and that the court, even though it was a Democratic court, was leaning against Donald Trump for purely political reasons.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I just want to emphasize, and then you can talk about this. He, the president, and all of his minions are emphasizing that the court is acting politically. That's what they're trying. That's what they're trying to use to undermine the judges.
But as Hillary Clinton tweeted out last night, 3-0, 3-0. And
that was a surprise, right? We didn't think it was going to be. I think most legal experts, or at least in the 27 hours that I watched on cable news on this, on different networks, including Fox, was that it would be a split decision somewhere.
Right.
So the fact that it was unanimous, I mean, I don't know how much you read into that. That would be a question I would ask Rich. But if it seems significant.
Right.
Well, Rich nailed it. I mean, when he was here this week, he said, "I would not have said, no, you can't review this. This is up to the president. I would never have said that to a federal judge." He nailed that.
Yeah.
Now, and the court was clear that they did not decide on the issue of whether or not the executive order violated the First Amendment.
Right.
And ban on government establishment religion disfavoring Muslims. They said it was an issue to be, that
decided
needed to be decided.
When you talk
they
about
did not decide
merits.
On that. They just decided that there was not enough standing to, not standing is not the right word,
there wasn't proof of an emergency.
Of
that
emergency.
This was that
exactly
this had
right.
required immediate action.
But right. You know, back to your original statement about making it clear that the courts had the right to review this, that leads to another issue. They could have easily said, "We have that right. We're doing it. But you have the right to put immigration, to control immigration." But they didn't do that. In other words, there were two things. But I think you're right that this business of judicial review became very important.
Right. And there were several things that were decided in the case. The other thing that happened last night that's relevant to this is that the person who was the leading contender to be the President Trump's solicitor general, meaning the person
right.
who would
right.
argue the court before
the Supreme Court,
he stepped out of the running. And that is fascinating because the person who is now most likely to get that job is Kellyanne Conway's husband.
Right. Who handled the cases, the sex cases against the Paula Jones case against Bill Clinton.
Right.
So it's very, it's all twisted.
So why did this, right.
Why did he drop out?
Now he says because he is also one of the people who guided Sessions through the AG process.
Yeah.
And so he says because he saw what that was like and did not want to be a part of it. But it's not new news what the confirmation process is like. Right. So was there pressure for him to step in? And what was had been reported all along is that Sessions was told that he would have his choice of Solicitor General. And so, in any case,
the other thing I found interesting was that the government's case was I'm the president and I know about danger. I know, and Trump said that I've been listening to my briefings and I know things now I didn't before, and the threat is imminent. And we can't tell you, you have to just trust us. Only I can help you. That theory, but in a court, could they not have gone to the judges in a private session and shown? This happens all the time when you're dealing with national security cases. The court gets to look at the material and then can rule based on the same material that the president or the president's lawyer is looking at.
So could
they
only
didn't
make
do
you,
this. So it makes you suspicious.
Well, to make you assume that they don't have that material.
Correct.
Right.
Here's a question that I wish Rich or a lawyer could answer for. Maybe some of you folks know. Is it... Could one argue that this makes us so Trump's argument is there's a safety issue here, emergency, president's job is to keep Americans safe. But could it be argued in court, as it's being argued in public opinion, that this ban can make us less safe?
Oh, that has been done,
been
in
argued.
Fact. That's been argued, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so are they going to decide that this ban makes us less safe?
Well, there's another possibility here.
A rule on that.
By
can
the way,
they rule
that's
on
an excellent
that?
Question. It is. But there's another issue here, which is that he doesn't want to give up the issue on this. He doesn't want to give up,
right.
You know, I'm keeping you safe, and those other liberal whatever adjective you want to use are, in fact, and I think that's what's behind much of this.
I agree. To that point, if you say, though, that, as he has been saying, that if anything happens in this country now, that the blood is on the hands of the judiciary— then, which is pretty much what he has tweeted, if he doesn't take the opportunity to rewrite it, doesn't that make that go away? I mean, I'm not saying logic often plays part of this.
Yeah, I think logic is the idea. He's made a stand. It's posturing, and I think he's actually made points with a lot of people on that. People.
And what effect does it have that Homeland Security has amended portions of it? Which I'm not even clear how they legally can do that. But they, I mean, I listened to the press conference, which was fascinating. That Homeland Security. General Flynn, not Michael Flynn Whitehouse, but Homeland Security Flynn.
Right.
And clearly they amended portions of it in its implementation, which
well,
I'm not
you
sure
know, as you as the resident policy wonk here, who is dependent on you know a reading, a quite important reading of the law as it stands, and you say, I don't know how they can do that. Well, this guy does whatever he wants. Right. That's the whole point. And it gets it confused. I mean, who was it who said, reason with them, it makes them crazy? Or Mario Cuomo said, reason with them, it makes them crazy. So on the one hand, Trump says something. On the other hand, one of his people, head people, says, no. We have a judge who yesterday says, I'm dismayed, or whatever he said about the way that what's happening to the courts here by the Trump people. I mean, does anybody else think, I wonder if there was any kind of phone call? In other words, How does this stuff get said in this way? You mean you really think that the Secretary of Defense is going to say something contrary to what the President of the United States has said?
Along with Sally Yates, who emerges from this as a true heroine, 3-0, kind of backs her up that I'm not sure this is constitutional.
Eric Holder praised her.
Yes.
In a tweet last
year. I think she might be a future senator. Bob Ferguson, the attorney general for the state of Washington. Oh, my God, I have such a crush. He has been under incredible pressure. Can you imagine the pressure on him? He has been calm and reasonable. He has not said anything rash, which I would be sorely tempted to do. He has just said, look, here's what we argued in the case, and we think it's strong. And he just stood with that.
Well, and the fact, and he also said, you know, we've taken this to court twice. We've won twice. We're ready to go to the next step and feel confident in what we've done.
Right. But yeah, I don't get really
this.
Great.
I don't get this crush thing. Perhaps you could define that.
It's a policy crush.
It's how you feel about Kellyanne.
Now that is such a bad thing to say.
Okay, we're going to just keep.
Bad, but not untrue.
That is not how I feel about Kellyanne.
Oh, that's
great. Back onto the state issue, but it did. I'm going to just keep going on that one. It did also show that make it clear that the states have standing to reinforce the fact that the states have standing.
Absolutely.
And
good
I thought
point.
That was a really not the critical point. I think you started with the critical point about.
No,
the,
that's really important.
But the fact
going
that the
forward.
States
because
have
we talked about that with Rich of that issue of standing because it was a major part of the discussion during the hearing of who has standing.
And
it was a rare, especially going to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And so, yeah, it does seem as though that has been.
Because there are many other cases in the pipeline in other states.
Right.
And so noting that the
each
states
one of
have
them now has standing. Has, right. Did any of you watch Alan Dershowitz, who has been such the commentary from him has been so strange. He's quite a constitutional scholar.
Yeah.
But he didn't like this suit at all. He really had predicted that the government,
the
federal government, would come out ahead. And he's
he also didn't like this decision. He didn't
he
like
hates the decision. Right. No. Same thing.
He thought it was far reaching. I heard it this morning. I was listening to him this morning coming in. And he said that it was far-reaching, and he felt that they were politicizing, and
Because he was wrong, because he was wrong, and he didn't like that.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Is that what you think it was, Alan? It's ego,
No, I know him pretty well, and he sat in my living room on a couple of occasions, and I have to tell you, he is he's a guy who has an ego. There's no two ways about it.
It was funny because he had two, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on their names, but he had two former students.
Yes.
Who disagreed with him on this morning,
yes.
And they were both saying to him, "Okay, but you taught us that." You know, they're going right at which I know certainly you've been
that's
through,
funny.
Alan.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah,
I really expected him to come out and say, "Whoa, I really called that one wrong," and to hear his analysis of how the judges had reached the decision that they did. Apparently, there was not much trouble reaching a unanimous decision, and instead, he just doubled down and seemed to be arguing on the Trump side. It was very strange.
Yeah, well, remember he defended Klaus von Bülow.
Well, everybody's entitled to a defense. I think that is constitutional.
Well, that's true.
We're going to pause right there, and we'll take a break.
Wife killers. Oh, my goodness.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have a lot more to discuss. A lot more happened while you were sleeping last night, and we have to talk about that. So we'll get into all of those issues. We welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Teresa Bourgeois with us this morning. And, of course, we welcome your letters. We'll continue our conversation after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel, and we welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Only write to that email address if you want your letter read or under consideration. Panel@WAMC.org, because that's the only one we're checking right now.
Sure.
And Alan has some of those in front of him.
Sure. L says, I disagree about Judge Gorsuch will go against Donald if there is any wiggle room. Gorsuch is answering the question with the best answer for getting approvals. I mentioned that that was a potential, by the way, folks.
I think that's right.
But his past shows that he thinks along GOP doctrine of big business in capital letters and not people in capital letters. All right?
All right.
Okay. All right, then. Let's see here. I think this is Trump's attempt to get things done conventionally. If he continues to be challenged, I believe he will do what he has done in business for so many years and find a way by any means. He certainly has the staff. The separation of powers is fairly unique in U.S. government and is what has kept our government alive for so many years. It now faces its ultimate test. If we lose respect for the law, we lose everything. And that's John from Troy.
Indeed.
And dear panel.
Very true. Very true.
I came across this quote from Ben Franklin that seems apropos for today's politics of fear. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And that's from Mac. A lot of people say, have said in letters to us, well, the people who voted for Trump deserve what they get. And I always say, no, they don't.
No, they don't.
Okay. Dear panel, any news on the investigation into Russian interference in the election? Seems like this story has slipped away. Well, I certainly haven't heard much.
We may be talking about that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And that's what we have for okay. now, Joe.
So let's go to the other, another, big, I shouldn't say the other, there are several. Let's go to
other.
Right. Let's go to another big story that broke overnight. Both the New York Times and the Washington Post reporting about Michael Flynn, who is said to have had talks about sanctions with Russia. Now, we heard about some of this in regards to the actual conversations. However, we did not hear the part about because originally they said they didn't talk about anything regarding sanctions. And now they're saying that they did. So weeks before President Trump's inauguration, his National Security Advisor Michael Flynn discussed American sanctions against Russia, as well as areas of possible cooperation with that country's ambassador to the U.S., according to current and former American officials. Throughout the discussions, the message Mr. Flynn conveyed to the ambassador that the Obama administration was Moscow's adversary and that relations with Russia would change under Mr. Trump was unambiguous and highly inappropriate, the officials said. The accounts of the conversation raised the prospect that Mr. Flynn violated a law against private citizens engaging in diplomacy and directly contradicts statements made by Trump advisors. They have said that Mr. Flynn spoke to the ambassador a few days after Christmas, merely to arrange a phone call between President Putin and President-elect, at that point, Trump. Teresa.
Go, Teresa.
Well. So the question is, the Logan Act is the legal issue here, but also lying is the legal issue here.
Perjury.
And perjury. And not only would it be Flynn, but it potentially could be Vice President Pence. And so most intriguing politically to me is the fact that this story was sourced, first came out in the Washington Post, and they named, I believe it was eight or nine officials on the record, but not using their names, who said that this was true. And then a few hours later, the New York Times came out with the same story, a similar story. So it's interesting to me about why all of a sudden this story is being pushed internally in the Trump White House about Flynn. But it yet again raises these serious questions about what interaction there was between Flynn and the Russians at the same time that the Obama White House was announcing sanctions on the Russians. And why it, you know, there was a very curious silence from the Russians for about 24 hours after those sanctions were announced, and then a very tepid response. And
meaning, like, we don't have to worry about this. We're not going to be, you know, we're going to be dealing with Trump, not with with Hillary.
Correct.
Obama.
And we're not going to have to. Yeah, right. And did they say, but the interesting thing is that Flynn has been in this business for a long time. He had to know that the U.S. folks were listening in on what the Russian ambassador, you know, the conversations, that they could track those conversations.
Hubris. It's hubris.
But the other thing I find fascinating, and this might, you know, sometimes one and one doesn't equal two, but the other story yesterday in today's Post is a story about Jared Kushner and what a great job he's doing as a diplomat and how he's handling all of these issues well and smoothing things over.
Like a shadow secretary of state.
Who we have not really heard about publicly.
Right.
The Times says they're going to parties, he and his wife.
So
they're playing the Washington circuit. They're not heavily involved in policy, you can believe it if you want.
Well, this story outlines very detailed involvement in the Mexico situation, right, trying to temper what President Trump says about Mexico, and then thought that they had it buttoned down, and then he went and tweeted, and he didn't, and it disrupted the situation.
So do you think those meetings are like, you know, my dad said that. I can't believe him.
The one thing I would counter is that I don't see the White House pushing this story. If the Washington Post came out with this story and had nine sources, and 9 hours later the New York Times followed, that's because editors were saying, why the hell don't we have this story? Exactly. Go talk to your sources. That's not the White House going to two different sources.
What I'm saying is there. You know, there's reportedly a lot of infighting in this White House.
The nine sources is strange. I mean, that's something you would go with three sources.
They clearly wanted it buttoned down. But are there efforts in the White House to push Flynn out?
Well, it's like the Yemen raid. That was the disaster of that raid. The details came out in copious amounts and with lots of sources agreeing to it. So that part I can see. But I don't think it was like the White House peddling the story to different newspapers.
Portions of it trying to drive Flynn out is what I'm wondering.
Now, since we were talking about Alan Dershowitz.
Is an effort to drive Flynn out is because there are definitely different factions within the White House.
So who would be in charge of that?
We're only 3 weeks into this.
Who would be the anti? It would be Pence and Flynn.
Well, at the same time, you have a story about what a great job Jared Kushner is doing, and then you have a story reinforcing the notion that Flynn may have violated the Logan Act and perjured himself.
Please explain the Logan Act too. I don't get it.
I will say before, as you explain the Logan Act, I will say that since we were talking about Alan Dershowitz this morning, Alan Dershowitz was saying, is apparently one of the foremost scholars of the Logan Act, and said this morning that I think it's only been
never
prosecuted once, I believe, once in the 1800s somewhere. But he said if the Logan Act was worth anything, then Jimmy Carter and Jesse Jackson would be sharing a jail cell.
Right.
See, he's become such a Republican.
It's all about ego. That's all it is.
Right. On the Logan Act, I mean, I've read both Republicans and Democrats say you got to tread very lightly on the Logan Act because oftentimes you need to have back-channel conversations that aren't necessarily done by people in the office.
And what is the Logan Act again?
That says that you cannot, that an American citizen cannot negotiate with a country leadership contrary to what the president or the officials of the government are negotiating, that you can't you can't have a separate negotiation. But in fact, this is where your friend Malcolm Nance, I would love to have a conversation, him weigh in on this, to have us understand the depth of this. But I think with Flynn, they might not go after him on the Logan Act, but on perjury. Because a lot of people are wary about setting precedent on the Logan Act, because sometimes these back channel conversations are productive in difficult situations, Cuban Missile Crisis, for instance, and other situations. So,
well, not to be overly cynical, but if it's a choice between they start talking perjury, and it's between if someone has to go down for this, if it were between Pence and Flynn, it's obviously going to be Flynn, right?
Yes,
right. Yeah. But if Flynn is charged with perjury, you've got Pence on the record repeatedly. But I suppose he could say, "Well, I was saying what I was told to be was true, and Flynn told me it was true. I believed him, and he lied to me."
He has a plausible deniability. Right. In reading the story and hearing about the story last night, I wondered if it ties in with the now long neglected, and a listener just asked about this, the long neglected investigation and Russian involvement in the election. This is actually a quid pro quo. And we already saw that a share of a Russian-owned energy company was sold, and it was done through offshores and hidden ownership assets. So we don't know who got the money, but that was in the dossier, the discredited dossier on our new president that said he agreed to that was part of the deal that he worked out with the Russians. So now there's two parts of the quid pro quo, or now we're looking at aspects. Is anybody going to look into this? You think Jason's got some time to do this now? Can he handle Nordstrom and Russian interference in our elections at the same time?
but the question is this coming out? Because is the FBI looking at this? You know, who is investigating this? Because this gets back to the fundamental question of what's in Donald Trump's taxes. What is it about his connection with Russia? And remember the Paul Manafort.
I remember that plan. That's the first one I said it here. What is
former
this
campaign
guy doing
manager,
with him?
Right? Former Trump campaign manager.
And
questions
a known
about,
Russian operative.
Questions about his involvement. Remember Michael Flynn? General Flynn did business with Russia.
Yep.
And the questions about the business he did, and of course, open questions about Donald Trump. So this keeps going back to the question of what is this special relationship between the Trump administration and Russia? And that's why you need to see people's taxes. Yeah,
but who's going to do the investigations is the question.
Yeah. Republicans, where are you?
One of the things that I'm most interested in, and I hope we get there today, is, you know, Congressman Chaffetz from Utah, who was, you know, investigating Hillary if she picked her nose. And now we have all of this stuff that is coming out. And apparently there doesn't seem to be that kind of interest in doing investigations.
Well, you had the attorney general being sworn in yesterday's session. So, you know, in theory, it would be done in the FBI and the AG's
Justice
office,
Department.
But Justice Department. But so then the question is, and again, I don't know the answer to this, about the courts. What is the role of the courts? Is there any court case that might be brought on this issue? I don't know the answer to that.
Let's pause. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Teresa Bourgeois. And we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan, you have a few in front of you.
I do. All we need now is a terrorist attack in this country, and he will gloat and feel he's won. And that's from Michael. Mm.
He's the president. It's his responsibility to keep us safe.
Ah, but he will answer, and I don't want to be his interpreter. He will answer, if you had done what I said, I would have kept you safe. That's what he'll answer.
If what you had done was constitutional.
Well, now we're getting into wonk land.
No, that's his whole point, is that the Constitution cannot protect us in these times. Therefore, listen to me and avoid the Constitution.
That's right.
That's the whole dangerous,
road to fascism.
Subversive path that he is on. You know, I woke up this morning after all this news thinking, will the presidency ever be as it was? Or is it changed forever in this horrible new way?
Is it democracy?
Well, it is interesting that as we evolve in this country and we say we don't need the filibuster anymore, the Democrats say we don't need the filibuster anymore, and all of a sudden that'll never change. That'll never be the same either. And you're right, Rosemary, as the president, as President Obama began to do more and more executive orders, which in fact were all good in my opinion, he opened the way for this.
But Alan, what do you make of the public response? So you saw last night in Utah, Tennessee, Michigan.
I want to talk about that.
What do you make of that?
Is that okay to say that?
Yeah, they busted out of your control, Joe.
No,
I'm sorry, was that?
It's well in control. Go ahead.
No, Alan did it, but it's okay.
If I had a sister, she would have said that. Mommy, Alan did it.
But what do you make of that in terms of this whole issue about democracy and people feeling safe or concerned about our democracy?
Well, you know, here's what's happening. People are going to congressional offices. They are going to Chaffetz, who, as I said before, is in charge of the investigations committee in the United States House of Representatives.
Congressman Chaffetz of Utah, right?
Who I've always considered to be one of the more upsetting figures in contemporary politics.
Mm-hmm. And so politely said.
And they went to his town meeting, and they just booed him off the stage, and they yelled, and they treated
him like he treated Hillary. It was lovely to watch.
It was unbelievably interesting to me. And this is going on now. Now, the point of the matter is, it's very tough for a congressman to have a town meeting. Because let's say he has, you know, a million people in a district or 350,000, whatever it is. I don't remember. But whatever he has, now there's going to be 1,000 people clearly who hate him. And they're going to show up at that meeting when nobody else will. And they will boo him right off the stage. And I must say, in my opinion, my humble opinion, he deserved it.
Thousands of others those were in the auditorium, but thousands of others were not allowed in because of fire code and control. But they were there with signs that say, "Do your job," and Chaffetz is a coward. This all happened at the Brighton High School, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City. And this is Red State, Utah. What?
This is the resistance. It's growing.
But as we worry, I worry about democracy unraveling. But that was a tremendous display of democracy.
Yes, it
and
was.
It's a reminder that each of us can make a difference and do something, and our voices do matter.
But if you were a Trumpite, you would be arguing, come on, they just
get
it's all the
it.
Lefties.
We
left,
won. Get over
yeah,
it.
Get out, or the, all the lefties came in. You know, we didn't go, and that's what.
Were
happened.
They all actually Utah residents? Because that's what they'll say.
Well, that is
shipped
what,
them in
right,
from
yeah,
other
they
places.
They brought them from other places.
So that worried me. I mean, it has to be his own constituents or people nearby.
Well, I'm assuming you could find that number of people who voted against the guy.
But still, to be. To have that many people who want to come out and ask questions about where he stands on health care and on conflicts of interest and such. And I thought one of his responses, I was fascinated.
It was great.
He said, quote, "There is so little decency here," unquote.
Yeah.
Wow. And you think back on the kinds of, the number of hearings that he held on Hillary Clinton and
yes.
others.
And
for
Planned
him
Parenthood.
To
look, it's this simple.
Planned
it's,
Parenthood charges.
Yes,
he did.
And it's
yeah.
this simple. The president doesn't have conflict of interest obligations.
Yeah.
As if, you know, even if it could be ascertained that the emoluments clause and the rest of it, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean anything, but that the president doesn't have to obey the rules on conflict of interest, it's basically admitting that he's not. And that's not a nice thing.
But no. There were people there who said that they were his constituents who asked some very pointed and heartfelt questions
informed
about health.
Questions.
Informed
yeah.
questions. Particularly on health care, their own
yes.
personal health care situations. And I really believe that what will turn this tide is as the Trump supporters begin to understand that the policies that Trump is espousing are not to their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And once they then, those constituents, start talking to their members of Congress, Republicans or Democrats, then that will turn the tide of Republicans against these Trump policies.
One young girl asked Chaffetz what he was going to do to protect the environment. "Do you believe in science? Because I do," she said to Loud Cheers. "I don't pretend to have all the answers," he responded. "There are good people on both sides of the aisle," he added to resounding, sustained boos.
Yeah.
And never said, "I believe in science."
Yeah.
Never said what? I'm sorry.
And he
never
equated.
Said, "I believe in
he
science."
He said, "There's good people on both sides of the aisle." It's stupendously, overwhelmingly. As in evolution, there's the science is on one side and there are people who are saying maybe not on the other, but only a few. It's not equal.
Now, there's one thing that they, you know, I think the yelling and screaming, I'm not for that because I think that drives away some people, but whatever. But there was one thing that they had there that I had never seen before, which is signs that on one side said agree and on the other side said disagree.
And they were,
and as he gave his answer, if they agreed, they'd all put up the signs to agree. I'm sorry. It's a
real-time voting. I like that.
I thought that was fun. But it wasn't just in Salt Lake. It was also in the Republican area of Michigan last night and a Republican area of Tennessee. Fascinating to me.
And they're saying,
I would like McConnell to hold one of these. I think you're going to see senators and congressmen withhold these kind of meetings with constituents because they are afraid. Paul Tonka has one coming up on Monday. Now, he's progressive and he's in line with his constituents, but there's increased interest. There's going to be people there who have not gone to these kind of meetings before because the resistance is saying you have to get involved. People are.
Right. And the other thing, the government ethics office was so overwhelmed yesterday
with calls.
With calls and with website inquiries that it crashed their system around this Ivanka Trump issue. And so when people often call in here and say, "What can we do? And does it matter if you get involved?" Well, you know, you saw in Washington mm-hmm. and around the country last night that it can make a difference.
And a lot of other people of the resistance really quickly, and that is Ivanka and Nordstrom's.
Nordstrom's,
is that, yeah, right. And their stock goes way up. The Nordstrom stock goes way up. Can somebody explain that to me? People were, this is a vote of confidence that the Nordstrom's took her stuff out off the shelves.
Right, did the right thing. Right,
grab your wallet has had an effect, I think.
But I want to ask, I want to know when the Congressman Chaffetz is going to ask for his sanctions against the Trump folks for what they did to the State Department folks who use their regular, their diplomatic letter, you know, that they were allowed to write.
Oh, the dissent letter.
Dissent letter.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. I'll tell you why, because he's a practitioner of two of the oldest professions in the country, in the world. Politics and...
Right. Yeah.
But the dissent, that process has a particular provision that says that you cannot go after people for participating in a dissent letter,
which right.
they did. Mm-hmm. And so where's the Kellyanne Conway or Sean Spicer right. Reprimand for that?
Well, you know where, but the problem is, how come not? I'm sorry, Joe.
And may I correct, there was no reprimand, there was counseling, which means... If you listen to Kellyanne, she said, I wish everyone's boss treated them the way the President of the United States treated me. So counseling could have been, Kellyanne, we got some calls. Watch it. But I like what you did. That's counseling.
Yeah, that's counseling. I don't even, I mean, if you agree with the person and you've done the same thing, I don't know how,
I don't think it's
stern that was.
Right. I don't think it's a huge deal. You know, she should have just said, I went too far. I'm sorry.
Meanwhile.
And she could have done it in an Ivanka Trump dress, by the way.
All of the stuff that came out last night it sort of eclipsed all this, but the Sean Spicer press briefing yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Go back and listen to it on C-SPAN if you didn't.
Melissa McCarthy was taking notes.
If you think, right. So it's almost as if he was going to, I'll show you bitter and angry. And man, he came out, and there was not a moment there that wasn't really awkward and extremely uncomfortable.
And what do you think about that?
Well, I think he's not that smart. That's my own thing. I think he's between a rock and a hard place.
I go with that.
Yes. Yeah. He's a rock and a hard place. And I don't know about any of the rest of you, but we were in the sixth grade and somebody got up to give their report. And it was really stupid. And, you know, your heart sort of goes out to them in a way.
You felt sorry for them.
You feel sorry for them.
Wow.
I don't.
I think he needs to resign. If he's between a rock and a hard place, he is not acting honorably.
I still have March 18th in the pool.
I don't want him to resign. If he resigns, they might actually get somebody who's smart. And that wouldn't be so good.
The thing about him, though, is that for reporters, journalists, and just people in Washington who have worked with him over many, many years, because he's been around a long time, this is not the guy that we used to work for.
Chris Jensen. She said it on the air. I was watching her one day. She said, we all liked him.
Yeah, he was very responsive. We certainly tangled with him, but we asked questions. He answered them. He was very, very good. And you can see the pressure, obviously, that he's under, because we know the president is watching him as he's doing this and commenting on everything from his suits to every answer he's giving.
Well, he could have used the criticism on the suits, but Kellyanne also. Kellyanne is also cracking under the pressure. I mean, I have been studying her since she was named the campaign manager. She
wouldn't have made a mistake too. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I know you do. Yeah. She would not have made a mistake like the Ivanka Trump thing 2 months ago. I think a lot of it's falling on her.
I don't think they care. But also, there was a report.
That's scary.
I'm with you. I think you're right.
I don't think they care. They're doubling down. Look at what they're doing with.
I just need to go over to Ray because otherwise, see from here. I can see the vein throbbing in his head. Yeah. So I have to go over to Ray. We'll take a news break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And we welcome your participation as well. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan.
I like this letter from Anthony, who says, "Good morning, panel. The only positive scenario I'm witnessing from the so-called Trump presidency is the fact that we will be learning, along with Mr. Trump, as to how our democracy really works." I was a high school student during the Nixon years, and I witnessed then how we, as our country, found how we are a country founded by, on law. Hopefully, that rule of law or will pertain to today as well. Anthony, I read them as you write them. Be careful how you write them. Okay. John says, increasingly, Donald Trump makes Richard Nixon look like Mother Teresa in comparison. Trump's model for governing seems to lie, tweet, and cheat. Make up your own facts and twist the truth into many convoluted pretzels. This is what happens when we elect a guy with no moral compass. And that's from John. All right. R says, Jeremy says, every day we talk about a new affront to political behaviors. We can't do this 365 years in a row. We need a strategy and a leader, not Pelosi and not Schumer. And sorry to say, defending Muslim immigrants will not win the White House. You know, Joe and group, that's a very interesting thing. I came home yesterday and I was immediately confronted by Roselle, who wanted to say, who have the Democrats got? Who is going to be that transformative person? That's a tough one, because if you look around, her answer right now, the answer of the day is Cory Booker. I don't know.
My brother likes Chris Murphy.
Well, boy, do I ever. I'm interviewing him on Monday.
Did you see Carly Fiorina is going to run against Tim Kaine?
Yeah.
They're going to go after anybody who's a potential next generation leader.
It won't matter. She won't win. She's not going to win over there. I'm telling you that now.
This may sound hokey, but how unusual for me. I think in Louisville...
I did not see you as hokey.
I think what the Democrats right now have is the American people. I really do. I think you saw it in the Women's March, that outpouring in the Women's March. I think you saw it. You've seen it in a whole host of big
Yeah, but you didn't
ways.
See it in the election.
You got to have a leader.
No,
but you got to have a spokesperson.
Someone will emerge. Someone will emerge, I think. I think it's slow to be happening. I think Chris Murphy's amazing to watch. I
began interviewing him on the Congressional Corner so long ago that I don't think he was old enough to be president. I'm not sure. But I know that when I... Would you say?
I think you're right, yeah.
When I asked him, he just laughed about the whole thing. But now I think it's a different story. He is terrific.
I'm watching this California senator, Kamala.
Oh,
is that her
Kamala
name?
Harris. Yes.
Oh, my
gosh. She is amazing.
She's young. She's mixed race. I love that, because we that is
the
resistance, is that we embrace diversity. We see value in that. She's articulate. She's brilliant. Oh, I think she's an up-and-comer.
I also think the attorneys generals around the country are really emerging as powerful Democratic leaders.
The guy from Washington, I think he's
Xavier
great.
And Xavier Becerra in California, yep. Here in New York, of course. I think
your
some favorite. People talked about Pete Elizabeth Carr. Warren. But I really think that
she's too
old.
What do you think, Andrew Cuomo can't step into that job?
Wow, that
Deafening
was silence.
Silence.
Man, that was dead air.
Deanne says, Teresa's terrific. I wish you could have her on more often.
Well, that's sweet. Thank you.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
That is nice.
Alan,
great.
Our Westie, named Einstein, easily gets lost in the snow, though he doesn't exhibit any jumping bean behavior as your dog does. Also, I can't tell if our dog supports Trump or not. Every time the Lilliputian-handed, carrot-colored man comes on TV, he starts barking. Maybe he's a supporter. He is an all-white dog, which we know is our president's favorite color.
Oh, my
Cody
goodness.
And
well, that's wow. pretty funny.
So the other day, yesterday, to cheer myself up, speaking of, you know, not dogs or cats, but pandas. Go online and
yes.
Google pandas in the snow if you're feeling overwhelmed and just want a good laugh. At the National Zoo, the panda's playing in the snow.
The giant panda is no longer on the extinction list, which is very, very good news.
But there are a lot of
Wayne writes.
Let me know in 4 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that because...
oh, yeah. I didn't think of that.
Which came first? Sorry, Alan.
Go ahead.
Wayne writes, I understand that Kellyanne's endorsement of a specific product or business is a clear violation of law.
It is.
What about the opposite, where a government official uses their offices to, quote, trash a product or business, as Trump has done? Is there any law against that? Well, my first answer to this, Wayne, very good letter, is that apparently Trump isn't responsible for anything. I mean, you know, all of the president just gets away with it. It's awful, but it is so. I agree. Yeah,
he certainly trashed the FAA. He was meeting with airline executives yesterday, and the things that he said about the...
We haven't even talked about the FCC. He's after net neutrality, too, which was a huge push forward by the people, a grass-level effort, and by Obama. And now that that is in danger.
And then also yesterday when he was previewing what might be in his tax package, and he said, well, not only do we have to lower taxes, we have to raise revenue. And he said four or five times, and you know, we have a lot of natural resources, and we're going to look to that because we really need to raise revenue.
Oh, my God.
Warning, warning, danger, danger.
So Richard writes, I agree with Rosemary.
So do I.
That it is important to read Fox and other news agencies that support Trump. Need to know the views of people that support Trump. Breitbart is heavily influential given that Gorky and Bannon both come from the organization.
That's yeah, it's rich. Hard to read, though, I'll tell you.
But it's really important
read
to
the comments.
Read that and
read the comments, because we
those are the scary things.
Yeah.
And learn about Cambridge Analytica. That's what I...
Yeah, we read about that up in the show sometime.
Cambridge Analytica, look it up and learn about it. Sorry, Alan.
So Catherine says, the important piece of this is that it could result in Pence being impeached. If that happens, Trump could appoint Bannon. Or Pence and Trump could be impeached together for treason, and then Ryan would be the president. This could be why they're waiting to get them together.
First, I don't think Pence will be impeached.
No.
But even if he were, the president doesn't have the right to appoint a new vice president.
Yes,
he does. He does?
Yeah, with the consent of Congress.
With consent of Congress.
Read the 25th Amendment, everybody.
I know, but do you think Bannon could get that?
No.
He can't do it on his own, saying tomorrow Bannon will be the vice president.
I think if I was tongue-in-cheek. That's what I think.
That was very funny, Alan.
Irene says, Donald Trump cannot read. This is a basic skill that he appears to lack, according to many teleprompter mistakes, the reading of bills to sign, and a terrible dearth of understanding of this country's history. This is frightening. We have a president of the United States with a fourth grade vocabulary, as well as poor spelling and reading skills. He is superficial as a piece of paper, absolutely no depth of thought.
This is a country that has never liked intellectuals or scholars.
Dear panel, the strength of our democracy will likely be tested when Trump loses in court, then orders the Border Patrol and other customs agency, the unions, or some of Trump's biggest backers to enforce it anyway. What happens then? I think they are going to avoid that. I don't think they want to do that.
I think that this is a fundamental question right now about the role of federal employees. You saw it with the deportation. You know, I wondered yesterday with the deportation, what about the people who had to put... I'm sorry, Joe, I'm getting ahead, but...
No.
At the airports.
It's fine. You guys have... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, at the airports, whatever, the woman that they deported the other day.
Guadalupe.
What about the people who told her to come in for the meeting? And then what about the people who put her in that van and drove her away? At some point, and I'm wondering if you saw any of this at the airports in the ban, at some point do some of these federal workers say, this is not America, I cannot do this?
There was a big story already looking at, this is like Germany. Okay, there were bad leaders who make fascist decisions, but they're carried out by everyday people, by TSA workers and inspectors and customs officials. They're the ones who handcuff an old woman waiting in the airport, who hold a five-year-old child as a possible suspect for terrorism. It isn't Trump doing all these horrible things. It's regular, ordinary Americans. And yes, we ought to be thinking about that.
The woman we're talking about, Guadalupe Garcia de Reyes, a 36-year-old mother of two U.S. citizens, a nonviolent felon who had for years complied with Immigration and Customs Enforcement orders after being convicted of using a fake Social Security number to work. She was in the U.S. illegally, but had been allowed to stay on the condition that she check in annually with immigration officials. On Wednesday, when she went for her usual check-in, ICE agents took her into custody and said separating her from her husband and children who were waiting outside under this new executive order. So where does this give, given the ruling, and where does that put her?
Yeah, I'm not sure that she's someone really targeted by the ruling, which is immigrants coming from those seven countries. Yeah. She came from Mexico, which is not on the
she's
list.
She's separate from them. It's a separate legal case.
This is under his idea, oft-repeated, that he would make sure that people convicted of felonies who are in this country illegally would be deported. And this is the sort of person
the
we're talking about.
The priority for deportation.
Right. He signed a separate executive order that said anybody who committed a crime.
Correct.
The priority is for ISIS to go after anyone who committed a crime.
And lovely optic, because you don't want someone who is like kill people or raped or stolen. But her crime was using a fake ID number so that she could get a job. That's what America is being protected from. People so desperate for jobs and to stay with their family that they fake an ID.
And I'm sure that there's some...
Many of my college students do.
And there's some people who will say, oh, yes, she should be deported. She used a fake ID.
Yeah, she won't get a sympathetic hearing from many people.
But others will say, is this really what we are as a country? And I wonder what business people will say who... employ these folks.
Sure.
And she was found out because there was an ICE raid on a business, a mini golf or something. And so you wonder who got that Social Security card for her. Did she, did they, whatever.
It was Joe Arpaio, right? Who was the one who arrested
Arpaio.
The sheriff, Arpaio, who was a Trump ally who,
correct,
I assume is how this case came to their...
Well, here's the other thing, too. She's arrested when she goes in for a required meeting. So you're someone else, another immigrant, undocumented, who has a hearing. Are you going to go in for it?
Correct.
And if you don't, then isn't that a crime, too?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So she had been following what she was allowed to stay in this country
as long
after
as she
was adjudicated.
Right.
As long as she reported every 6 months. And her case, there was a case underway to have her felony conviction
erased,
overturned.
Yes.
And so that case is working its way through the courts. So she was following all of the rules that the government officials were telling her to follow. And she was deported.
Punished with deportation.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that really where we are as America?
Alan, let's go to some letters and we'll start to wrap up.
Dear panel, the strength of our democracy will likely be tested when Trump loses in court. Oh, we did that. We do that one. Loses in court and orders the Border Patrol and Customs agents, their unions are some of Trump's biggest backers, to enforce it anyway. What happens then? Well, yeah, and then you get what we call a justiciable issue, and people will go to court and say you can't do that. And the courts, as we have just seen, say, no, you shouldn't have done that. I think. Anyway, Martin says, to answer Rosemary's question about sensitive information being submitted to the court, the answer is yes. Sensitive documents and information are frequently submitted to courts ex parte without disclosing it to the other side. Even testimony can be taken ex parte if there's a compelling need for secrecy. If the administration had actual information to bolster their claims, I doubt they would be arguing in generalities.
Right.
But it could only be with people who have clearance. That's the question I think that you're getting at. If they have clearance, I mean, there's certain around this Russia question, they would have to have clearance to see some of the information.
Well, right? Ian says, panel, you need a constitutional scholar on your panel.
Yes, we do.
We do.
I hear, he says, he's got an idea. There is a former president who used to teach constitutional law looking for stuff to do.
Barack, we need you back.
He's what? Kite skiing or whatever. It's kite surfing.
Kite surfing.
Or water.
Oh, my God. He looks good, too, doesn't he? He looks like 10 years younger.
Looks very happy.
Yeah.
and the weight
of the world is off.
It's on his shoulders.
The other thing that Donald Trump keeps saying is he left us a mess. He left us a mess. He left us a mess. They're trying to say it. They say it over and over again. It's just like saying incorrect things about the crime statistics. They feel like if they say it over and over, it'll appear to be true.
Yeah, it's propaganda 101.
Well, it worked in the campaign.
Goebbels 101.
But let's remember that President Obama did not leave them a mess.
I am impressed by the speaker you had on a show, Joe, not long ago, Jonathan Chait, is that his name? Am I saying it right? Who said that, forget about it, Obama's legacy will not be erased, and it's proving true. Yeah. Solar is responsible for a big portion of the jobs that have been created, and healthcare, Obamacare, is not going away. He said there are portions here that will last no matter what.
Well, one
Trump
thing
does.
We didn't talk today about is that Congressman Price is today to be Health Secretary Price at 2 o'clock this morning. He was the Senate confirmed him. And President.
And you were up to see that.
I was
in the dark.
I know. It was crazy, but it was just so weirdly compelling. I'm sorry. Yeah. But remember that President Trump said within an hour or a few hours or a day of his confirmation, then they would have a health care plan. Yet they do not have a health care plan.
That's Republicans. Very obvious by now.
They never did. They still don't. And it's a danger to all of us.
Well, they've got them, but they're afraid to use them because they would screw the American people so badly that if they implement them, their popularity goes down. Anyway,
their rhetoric does not match their policy on health care.
Anyway, Glenn from Greenville says, I was so glad to see the president has concluded his negotiations with mainland China and has endorsed the One China policy. I anxiously await the White House announcement of the concessions that China made to secure the continuation of this policy.
None.
I think you're right. I think the answer is
he said
is
that
none.
He would not allow the One China policy unless there were concessions, and there's no evidence there were concessions.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly what the writer
is exactly right.
And Bob says, our own Kirsten Gillibrand will be the next president. And David says, the ruckus yesterday about Blumenthal's release of Gorsuch's comments about Trump disparaging of the judiciary and Trump's return slam of Blumenthal re his Vietnam service missed what was going on. The point of Blumenthal's release of the Gorsuch comment could only be purposely distance Gorsuch from Trump, allowing Gorsuch to position himself as suitable for Democratic support. I said that earlier today.
And former Senator Kelly Ayotte, who's escorting him, said the same thing, as did a couple of Republican senators.
Well, no, she actually said he didn't say it about any specific criticism, which is what the White House is saying. Ayotte supported Trump.
But also, the Chutzpah of the Year award is for the president to talk about Vietnam service to...
Absolutely.
And he went to military school. He had a rough childhood.
So, is that Joe, footing better?
Joe, what do you see, in case the listeners didn't hear?
Donald Trump tweeted out regarding Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut, who, by the way, did tell a mistruth about his service, saying that he served in Vietnam. He did not. But he did serve as his country.
He was here during
the Vietnam War. Serving. But he did serve. Of course, President Trump was it three different? How many?
Many deferments.
Deferments, yes.
Can't remember which foot.
Final letter.
No, that was...
That's such a slip for you. Find out what foot.
No, he couldn't remember which foot.
Oh.
No, when they asked him,
a reporter said,
which foot? Because
and
it was for
know.
A heel spur.
Yeah.
And a reporter said to him, which foot? And he bumbled it. I don't remember.
No, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, he couldn't remember which foot he got the deferment for.
The underlying gist, continues David, who wrote us this, is that Blumenthal and other Democrats are caving on Gorsuch's behalf, notwithstanding that the Republicans stole the seat from Obama and Merrick Garland. Not acceptable in my book. I very much enjoy your panel. Keep up the good work. And that's from David.
And we'll leave it there for this weekend, for this week, as we go into the weekend. Alan, Rosemary, Teresa, thank you so much for being here. We'll continue the show after this.